comments and views expressed on The Kevin Smith Show are those of the people that make them and do not necessarily reflect the views of Kevin Smith, The Kevin Smith Show, or its affiliates or sponsors.
And good evening. Welcome to the Kevin Smith Show. Wherever you are, all around this beautiful planet, thank you for being here. You know what time it is? Wherever you happen to be on this planet, it's the same time all over the world. It is time for talk radio like nowhere else on Earth. We're here because you have a right to know. And frankly, you matter. If you're new to the show, you don't know that we have a free weekly newsletter, but we do, and I would like to invite you to subscribe. It's free, so there's really no reason for you not to subscribe, is there? There are no strings attached. It's not, it's not one of those gimmicks. It's just free, all right? It's called the K-Files. So if you haven't subscribed, get over to our website, kevinsmithshow.com, and right in the middle of your screen, you will see where it says K-Files. Just click that and subscribe. And then when you get the confirmation email, there's a link in it that you have to use to activate your subscription. That way we know that you really did intend to subscribe. It's not just somebody playing a trick on you, all right? That's how we do it. We already sent the K-Files out this week, though. We normally send them out beginning after the show on Friday night, but we already sent them out this week. And the reason we did that, of course, is because, according to one gentleman out in California, a preacher out there, tomorrow's the end of the world. And so we wanted to make sure you got your free K-Files before that happens. That's what he says. Now, I think he's very definitely not correct. And as a matter of fact, tomorrow evening, I will be in the chat room in our members area, and I invite you to join me there at showtime. So whatever time it is right now in your part of the world, that's when you would go over to the chat room, and you will find me there. I will be there chatting away for a couple of hours. Sleep well tonight. Tomorrow is not the end of the world. Tonight is BYOT night. Now, if you're new to the Kevin Smith Show, you don't know what that is. BYOT means bring your own topic. And boy, is there ever a lot going on out there that we can talk about. I mean, it's just incredible, all the stuff that's going on. Big stuff. There's so much big stuff. A lot of people have just sort of fried out on it, and they're just not even noticing anymore. But some big stuff happening, and lots of it. So you get to decide on BYOT night. You get to decide what topics we'll talk about. How about that? It's kind of like being a talk show DJ. If you don't like the topic we're talking about, you pick up your telephone and you call in and you say, I want to talk about this, whatever it is. As long as it's within our genre, we will talk about it. We'll be back right after this. Welcome back to the Kevin Smith Show. And as I said, it's BYOT. We have a caller online already, and I will get to you in just a moment, caller. I have a correction I need to make in something I said earlier this week. In an earlier show this week, when we talked about Comet Elenine coming, I made the statement that it will pass us closer than our moon. And that is an error. Now, I'll tell you why I said it. It's not an excuse, but just so you'll understand. I had two charts in front of me, and you were seeing them one at a time up on the screen, but I had the both charts in front of me. One of them had things measured in AU. That is astronomical units. That's the distance between the sun and the earth. Okay, that's one AU. And Elenine will pass us at 0.233 AU. But I had both charts in front of me, and the other chart had things measured in LD, which is lunar distance. So while my eye picked up 0.233, my mind picked up LD, lunar distance. So even though I should have said it was AU, I said it was lunar distance. And it will not be passing us closer than the moon. It will be passing us at 0.233 AU, astronomical units. Okay? All right, caller, you're live on the Kevin Smith Show. Your first name and from where are you calling?
Hello, Kevin. This is Tracy from Canada.
Well, hello, Tracy.
I couldn't miss the pre-rapture show.
Yeah?
Yeah, I had to be here for this.
Yeah.
Very important. I personally can't go. There's my wine to be bottled in 2 weeks, so I made plans.
You're too busy to go, huh?
Yeah, so I'm going to have to stay.
Well, you know.
But at least there'll be wine, so we're going to be fine.
Well, for 5 months, because, if this actually does happen, which it won't, but if it actually does happen, that means that we have to take seriously the rest of his prophecy, which is in October, it's over. And in October, God wads up the earth and throws it in the trash can. And so
it did say there's going to be a meteor that is actually coming between the moon and us, not Lenin, but another one.
Yeah, now there have been...
It will cause something.
Well, there have been space bodies, space junk, big rocks that have passed between us and the moon, and there will be some more.
And,
so.
Yeah, we're still here.
Well, we are, right. Yeah. Now, Elenine in October will line up with us and the sun. And there are people predicting that that's going to cause a lot of earthquakes. It may do that. I don't know. But this thing for tomorrow, it's not going to happen.
Well, you know, I just hope there aren't a lot of Christians out there thinking if they're not taken that they have to commit suicide because they're not good people. That's my biggest fear.
Yeah, that's something that it's a phenomena that I don't understand, but it does seem to happen that way. When prophecies fail, there are some people who just can't take it and decide to exit. But you know something? The show that I did on that last night.
By the way.
I'm sorry?
It was awesome, by the way.
Well, thank you. I appreciate it. I'm not saying that there's not going to be a rapture. I don't know. There are Christian theologians that say there will. There are some who say that's a misinterpretation. And that gets into theology and stuff, and I avoid being into that. But I do know that whenever someone says this is going to happen, And the Bible guarantees this is going to happen. It's going to happen on Saturday. The Bible guarantees it. I do know that since they've tossed the Bible out there as their evidence, if we examine it, if they see it in there, we ought to be able to see it, and it's just not there.
I'm not seeing it. The one thing I am seeing right now, which is something you brought up on an earlier show, about the weird neutrino waves that were in Antarctica,
mm-hmm.
and off the coast of eastern USA,
mm-hmm.
happened this morning at 5 a.m. in Lake Erie.
Really?
It lasted for about 15 minutes, where we had a signal that was not from a ship, was not a pre-earthquake signal.
What do you think it is?
I don't know. Another rift opening? There's legends of that. You know, I'm part Native, and in the Mohawk tradition, they've said there's a doorway there that mm-hmm. hasn't been opened for years. You know, it's myth again, and I don't put a lot of stock in that, other than there are some stories that are kept on because it was an event.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know what the event was, but it happened this morning here.
Wow. Now, how did you know that it happened?
Activity, it's nuts lately.
How did you know that it happened?
I know because I'm such a nerd, Kevin, and I have people who monitor radiation and proton activity.
Mm-hmm.
We're mostly looking at the electron flux that's coming in, mostly from the sun.
Uh-huh.
And
now, do you do this as part of your job, or is this kind of a hobby?
No, just for fun.
Uh-huh.
Just for fun.
Okay.
I do for fun. Can you believe that?
Well, let me tell you what I think about a lot of myths.
Mm.
I don't think there are any. I think that those stories are people's very best attempt at describing something they saw happen, something they experienced. And now, of course, there are some myths about, built on an interpretation of an event.
Yes.
But I'm talking about myths about, for instance, a portal or doorway. And I think what the deal is, real event happens, people really saw it and experienced it, and to the best of their ability, they described it. And of course,
they drew it on walls.
Yeah, they drew it,
yeah.
They chipped it into rock faces. And the interesting thing about that is we are finding more and more and more that a lot of the stuff, a whole lot of the stuff that has been called myth is turning out to be very literally true. We might use a different terminology to describe the event. We may interpret it different, but the event is real. And a good example of that, and this is an old example, but a real good example is the city of Troy.
Yeah.
For centuries, archaeologists just laughed at that, and historians laughed at it, and said there's no such thing as a real city of Troy. And then an archaeologist said, you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to take this ancient text, and I'm going to follow the exact travels that are listed here and see if I can find Troy. And he followed it, and he started digging, and guess what he found? Troy. You know, so there was something that was a myth, and one day and 24 hours later, it was an established fact. So I think a lot of the things, you know, I'm part Native American too. And I think a lot of the things that the ancient Native Americans have told us about, they told us about it in language that seems a little bit strange to us. But they were telling us about real things that happened. And when they say this will happen in the future, I think they're telling us something we really ought to pay attention to. And we may describe it differently than they do and use different terminology, but I bet it happens.
Well, it's like there's a lot of glyphs on the coast, and I know you've gone over that. I'm a mechanical engineer, robotics and automation, so I know some about electricity, but it's mostly because it's a sideline for me, and I think it's fun because I'm such a nerd. But the little guys they have with kind of two hands and the big eyes look like what we draw plasma as now.
Mm-hmm.
And then you see the little spiral and people running on the stairway. And these are all over the planet. So it's kind of looking to me like they're trying to tell us something.
Mm-hmm.
You see a spiral. You see weird plasma things. Maybe it's time to run. So I understand the whole maybe it's time to run thing. But
yeah, and I'll tell you something I thought about. Remember that spiral that was in the sky above Norway?
Yes, I do.
Okay, all over America and all over Europe, I guess in Asia, I don't know for sure, you see these petroglyphs of spirals, and we interpret that generally these days. We say, well, that's a portal opening, or it's a doorway, a portal.
Yeah.
I mean, what if there was some kind of warfare going on where these spirals, like what happened over Norway, were developing in the skies above them, and they were marking the spot where they saw these spirals develop?
Yeah, good point. They saw this. This is not from skyhooks. People who have to, and we've talked about this before, people who have to go out and hunt and fish and build their homes, and so their clothes don't have time for a lot of just sitting back nonsense.
Mm-hmm.
They draw something that's important.
They do. And here's another thing.
Mm.
They are beginning to discover that a lot of these petroglyphs are not just pictures. They are like hieroglyphs. In that, yes, it is a picture of something, but it stands for a sound. It stands for a word.
Mm-hmm.
So they're beginning, there are people who are beginning now to, just in the beginning stages, to be able to sort of translate the language of these petroglyphs. How about that? That's pretty cool, huh?
It's very cool, and it makes sense. I don't think that we sat around for 2 billion years just kind of scratching ourselves.
You know? I don't either.
I think we've had so much technology, and we try to put it down in a way that eventually we would remember.
Mm-hmm.
And frequency, you know, the languages of math are something that we'd probably use with alien cultures if we couldn't speak the language, you know, so it makes sense.
Well, think about that that plate, that engraved plate that they put on Voyager.
Mm-hmm.
What was it? It was pictures and symbols.
And sounds.
Yeah,
and music.
Yeah. But it was they etched pictures into that, to represent some things, to try and tell a story to people who don't know our language. So in a sense, we used hieroglyphs on the Voyager. And, you know,
eventually if we'd understand it, somebody else would.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
Tracy, I have to move along, but thanks for the call.
Thank you so much, Kevin.
All right, bye-bye.
Bye.
Oh, that was interesting. Very interesting. Let me go ahead and get the telephone numbers out to you. For those of you who would like to call in, I would love to hear from you. The telephone number is 623-444-5889. If you are a first-time caller, you can call me on the first-time caller line. And that telephone number is 623-237-3814. So the main number, 623-444-5889. The first-time caller number, 623-237-3814. And if you're outside of the USA and you're outside of Canada, you can call us. Or, because it is an international long-distance call, I have set up for you, for your convenience, something called a flash message. You just go to my website, scroll down, you'll see the picture about tonight's show, and right above the picture, you'll see the link for the flash message. If you're outside of the USA and outside of Canada. Caller, you're live on the Kevin Smith Show. Your first name and from where are you calling?
Kevin, this is Jerome from Pennsylvania calling.
Hello, Jerome.
I want to thank you for letting the audience participate Wednesday evening when you had that guest, Command Sergeant Major Norton.
Well, you're certainly welcome. I was pretty sure that the audience would want to participate and be able to ask him some questions and make some comments. What did you think about his story?
You know what? I was trying. I was one of the first callers there.
Uh-huh.
And it was really interesting, all the other callers who called after me. I kind of wished I would have waited to call later. But I was trying to get a timeline on when the event actually happened.
Mm-hmm.
And it seems like if there's a firefight, you would have people say, you know, it started at 0200 and was finished at 0200 or something like that.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? But there was all kind of haze, like, you know, when this happened, when that happened. And then if he was abducted, it makes you wonder if the Secretary of the Army was abducted. And I was just wondering if this might not be a possible government disclosure, in so much as, you know how commercial airplane pilots are afraid to report a UFO when they see it because they might, you know, lose their license or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
He doesn't seem to be afraid at all. I mean, he was threatened, but he really didn't seem to be afraid, and nothing really happened to him.
Mm-hmm.
And so I wonder if this is a possible form of disclosure.
Well, I'll tell you what, a break just took over. You hang on, and let's talk about that on the other side, okay? All right. We'll be back, folks, right after this. Okay, welcome back to the Kevin Smith Show. On the telephone with me from Pennsylvania, Jerome. Are you still with us, Jerome?
Yes, I am, Kevin.
Okay. Now, as the break took over, you had just proposed the idea that you've wondered if perhaps this story and this event here with Command Sergeant Major James Norton may be some type of government disclosure. Because nothing really has happened to him other than a few people screaming at him. Nothing much has happened. I asked him about that in his previous appearance on this show. I asked him, did he think that he was being allowed to say all this stuff that he's saying and sort of get away with it because somebody up there really wants this out and they're allowing it to happen. And he said, you know, I don't know. And I asked him, is it possible that your story is being used somehow as a distraction to keep us from looking at something else very real that's going on? And he said, I don't know, but it could be. So, you know, it could be disclosure in a way, or it could be they decided, okay, this is an old case. Let him talk about it. People will be looking at that and looking away from this other thing that's going on. And we discussed that on that show. I don't know which one it is, but I think it's one or the other.
Well, I believe he's, you know, very genuine. And you know what would be interesting? If you could get him to have that recording of his hypnotic session, if he could play that on your show, you know, he might have to bleep out certain things that, you know, might be too personal or he's not allowed to disclose. But I found that to be very interesting. Have you ever heard one of these hypnotic sessions?
Oh, yes. Yes. Have you ever heard one?
No, I haven't. That's why I sounded. You know, he sounds like a real sincere person talking about his granddaughter and you know, all the effects that this had on her and stuff. And it just seems like it would be interesting.
Well, I'll tell you. I'll ask him. We'll see. Obviously, I have no idea what he'll say, what his response will be. But we certainly can ask him.
Yeah, he seems to be real approachable. I mean, he was almost to a point where he was, you know, going to give away information that you didn't want him to give away, like how many people had this evidence and stuff.
Yeah, and even telling us who's got it. No. No, don't tell who's got it. So,
Kevin, keep up the good work.
All right, thanks for the call.
Thank you, Kevin.
All right. 623-444-5889 is the main number here in the studio. If you're a first-time caller, you can call us on that number, or you can call us on the first-time caller line. It is 623-237-3814. And you can also do something else. If you are not in the USA and you're not in Canada, you can send us a flash message, all right? Now, the way you do that is you go over to my website, scroll down, you see the picture about tonight's show. Right above that picture, you will see a link that says flash message, okay? So you can call us or send us a flash message if you're outside of the USA and outside of Canada. If you're in the USA and you're in Canada, use the telephone, all right? Now, let me bring something up. This is a short story, short report, but I do have it linked on my website if you want to take a look at it. It's about a disappearing earthquake. You ever heard of a disappearing earthquake? Well, not only is it a disappearing earthquake, it's a big disappearing earthquake. 8.4. That's big. It's a big disappearing earthquake. Now, if you want to check it out, you want to look at it on the website, you can just go to my website. On the left-hand side, the left-hand column, when you get down below the menu and then below that graphic about join our members area, which you should do, by the way, and you could do right now. Right below that, there are some news items. And it says KSS reports. The very first item in there is the disappearing earthquake. So you just click on where it says disappearing earthquake and you can read about it. But let me tell you about it. I mean, how do you hide an 8.4 quake Well, yesterday, two different European earthquake monitoring sites reported this 8.4 earthquake. It was located deep inside of the Libyan desert, about 30 miles southeast of Sinawen, I guess is how you pronounce that. The epicenter was about 120 miles south of the Mediterranean coast, roughly 200 miles southwest of Tripoli. All right, so we have two different monitoring stations in Europe that registered an 8.4 earthquake in Libya. That's a big earthquake. And each of these monitoring stations has a website where they put up alerts about earthquakes, and they put this up on their alerts. They put a page up that said they had monitored the earthquake. It was 8.4, gave the time. I'm not sure what time it was, but gave the time. If this had been just one monitoring station, you might think, okay, well, maybe there was a malfunction if only one monitoring station picked it up. But you see what the deal is. They both picked it up, and they both reported it on their websites yesterday. However, the USGS, U.S. Geological Survey, on their website, they didn't list it, which was kind of curious. But it gets even more curious than that, because if you go to those two European monitoring stations' websites today, the page where they had it listed is gone from both of those sites. Now, as I said, if you just had one monitoring station that registered an 8.4 earthquake in Libya, USGS didn't pick it up, no other monitoring stations picked it up, you would have to assume there's something malfunctioning in their equipment, right? But when you have two stations, two separate monitoring stations, that both pick up an 8.4 earthquake, and both of them show that it is located in Libya. When you do that, when you've got that, and then nobody else is reporting, it looks suspiciously like it's a blackout of information, and a couple of the stations didn't get that blackout order in time. That's what it looks like. I can't prove that's what it is, but that I can say that's what it looks like. An 8.4 earthquake is big. That is a big earthquake. So the question then is, what is there about an earthquake in Libya that the USGS, I got to set this up right. I'm going to speculate about some things and talk in hypotheticals here. I'm not saying that there is a blackout order about this earthquake. It looks like that. But I'm not saying that's the case. We don't know. But let's say that there is. Okay. You have an 8.4 earthquake, a big earthquake, happens in Libya, and the USGS doesn't report it on their website. No other monitoring stations report it except these two. There are a couple of possibilities. Now, these two take the page down. I mean, the page was up there on each of their sites, yesterday, and poof, it's gone today. So now nobody's reporting it. I asked earlier, how do you hide an earthquake? Well, there you go. That's how you hide an earthquake. How do you hide a giant earthquake? That's how. Okay, so let's talk about some possibilities. One possibility is there was no earthquake, but there was something that caused a seismic event that registered 8.4. Now, that's entirely possible, is it not? No earthquake, but something caused an 8.4 seismic event. Now, the article, the original article that I read about this brings up this, that the most powerful nuclear weapon that was ever detonated on Earth was the 50-megaton Soviet-made Tsar Bomba, and that it was capable of causing an 8.4 seismic registry. And so, the writer just throws that out and says, okay, could it possibly be this Tsar Bomba? Well, obviously, if they had detonated that on the surface, there would have been a mushroom cloud from hell. And a lot of people would have seen it. It would have been all over the news, all over the world. But this writer that wrote the original article that I'm looking at says, but what if they did a subterranean detonation in a remote desert location? And he asked the question, is this possibly Libya doing a detonation to demonstrate to the West what their nuclear capabilities are? In other words, okay, you guys keep messing with us. Let us show you what we could do to you. Kind of ominous and interesting, but there's more. We'll be back. Welcome back to the Kevin Smith Show, and as we went away for break, I was talking about this disappearing earthquake. I mean, it's just very, very strange, and nobody's talking about it. There have been, by showtime, there have been no public statements given to explain what happened. And so, as you've heard me say so many times, if all of the data is not on the table, all speculation is valid. And so the writer of this article, he says, well, you know, you could have used a Tsar Bomba to create an 8.4 event. Of course, as I pointed out, there would have been a mushroom cloud from hell, and everyone for miles and miles around, in other countries probably, would have seen that. So, and they would have detected it. So I don't think that's what it was. But then he says, so is it possible that Libya set off a huge nuclear explosion subterranean, underground? Is that a possibility? Just to say to their Western attackers, to their NATO attackers, okay, look, guys, we're about to get serious here. We want you to see what our capabilities are. because you need to back off. Is that a possibility? Well, who knows? Certainly the West would want to contain that information to prevent widespread panic. Was this seismic event the result of a NATO attack? Did NATO do something that caused this? We don't know. I mean, it's all speculation. Or was it a real earthquake? You know, natural earthquake? Or was it just a couple of malfunctioning seismic instruments? Now, I don't think it's that. I don't think it's that, because what we're dealing with is two separate monitoring stations, two separate monitoring centers in Europe, which both registered the 8.4 seismic event. If it were just one, then we really could chalk it up to that was probably just some kind of malfunction in that center's system. But two centers registered the same thing at the same time and showed it to be at the same location. So I think something happened, but what? What happened? Whatever it was big, 8.4. So how do you make an earthquake disappear? That's how. And if you want to read that and you want to follow up on that some more, just go over to my website. Like I said, on the left column, left side of the page, under the menu, there's a graphic about joining the members area, and under that is where the news feeds begin. Well, the very first block of news feeds is called KSS Reports. And the very first one listed there is the disappearing earthquake. So you can follow that up, okay? And I invite you to do that. Follow it up. See what you can come up with. Now, this is BYOT night. This is Bring Your Own Topic night. That means that if we're talking about something that you're not all that interested in, or you've got something that you would prefer we talk about, all you have to do is pick up your telephone, dial this magic set of numbers, and it's a transporter. It will transport you directly into the studio. Here is the magic set of numbers. 623-444-5889. Caller, you're live on the Kevin Smith Show. Your first name and from where are you calling?
Hi, Kevin. This is Francois from Montreal.
Hello, Francois.
How are you?
I'm doing very well, sir. What's on your mind this evening?
Nothing special. Just like I like to tell you, like last Friday, Sunday afternoon.
Okay.
I have like a nuke alert radiation detector, you know, and it starts like for in the afternoon until 6 o'clock for 3-4 hour. It starts ringing. And it was showing level of 0.1 or 0.2 rads an hour. So I have no idea if this is was like caused by it was raining.
Mm-hmm.
But no matter was outside or moved 10 kilometer and being inside, it was still ringing until 6 o'clock about.
Now I'll have to plead ignorance here on this. These levels of radiation, 0.1 or 0.2 rad per hour, is that considered a dangerous level of radiation?
I'm not like a physicist, you know, but, mm-hmm. You know, like, I think like that, anything like that triggers the thing, it's starting to be dangerous. Like, on the chart, it says at 0.1, it takes 41.6 days to reach 100 rads. So I guess 100 rads is bad, you know, like.
Mm-hmm.
And but I was just speculating, you know, because everything it just like start and stop, and you know, like so it's not like rain from the reactor in Japan or something like that, because it should have left some radiation behind. So I'm just like, I was having like a wild idea, you know. I was searching for a Illinois comet, and some people say it might be like a neutron star, you know. And if it is, you know, maybe like it's still far away, but we were like in the beam of neutron, you know. At each pole, there's a neutron beam on those things. And if it's true, and like NASA's lying to us, and the thing's not a comet and it's a neutron star, it's gonna come back, come close to Earth. I think like the Reverend, I don't know, I don't remember his name, but maybe he's right, you know, like in October, like God's gonna throw the Earth to the garbage.
Yeah, I don't think so.
I hope not.
No,
yeah, I don't think so either, but yeah, it's weird.
I just don't see any evidence that we're about to be extinguished. I really don't now. I do see evidence that we are right now taking a rough ride, and I see evidence that indicates to me that this ride may get a lot rougher before we get off of the ride. But I don't think we're going to see any earth-busting extinction-level events. At least I don't see any evidence that indicates that to me. Now, having said that, Francois, let me tell you, I consider some of these authors that come on the show to be friends of mine, even some of them that I haven't met personally, but I've talked to them so many times and for so long on the telephone over the years that we've become friends that way. Marshall Masters is one of those. Now, Marshall he thinks very definitely that we are going to see some events that are very nearly extinction level, and only a handful of people will survive. He's a friend, and I respect what he has to say. But I have a different take on it. I have a different view, and my view is I don't see the evidence that tells me that that's going to happen. But it might, and if it does, I'll find out about it just exactly when everybody else does. And I might have long enough to say, hey, I got this wrong, you know. But I don't think we're going to see that. Francois, we have a break taking over. Thank you for the call. Interesting thoughts. We'll be back, folks, right after this. Back to the Kevin Smith Show. For those of you who are joining us just now in this second hour, welcome aboard. We're glad to have you. Tonight is BYOT, Bring Your Own Topic. And boy, we've been having some great discussions here, a lot of different topics. The telephone number is 623-444-5889. That's the main number. If you're a first-time caller, you can call us at 623-237-3814. If you're outside of the USA and you're outside of Canada, you can call us, or you can use our flash message feature. Now, that's there because I understand making an international long-distance call can be expensive. So we have the flash message option for those not in the USA and not in Canada. Caller, you're live on the Kevin Smith Show. Your first name and from where are you calling?
Yes. Hi, Kevin. I'm Perry, and I'm from San Luis Obispo, California.
Okay. Now, tell me, is it Terry with a T or Perry with a P?
Perry with a popcorn.
All right. Perry from California. I do remember you. You've called us before.
Yes. I shared you an angel story before.
That's right. What's on your mind this evening?
I'm not calling with a really positive thing tonight.
Okay.
BYOT, I am really dying to know if you have, if you have come across this video on YouTube that is from the Speaker of, it's the Speaker of the House of Russia on national TV, on Georgian TV. And he threatened the world with a new kind of weapon that will obliterate even up to continent size within 15 minutes, and it makes no sound, no lightning. It just, and he didn't explain anything more than that. But I'm curious if you come across that.
No, but I did hear about it. What do you think?
Well, I don't think that Russia is very much into... They don't really care what the world thinks about them. So I don't really see them as being very much into the business of lying. We do a better job of lying than they do. And I think that wasn't just saber rattling. I think he was speaking the truth.
Well, they may have such a weapon. I would virtually guarantee you that if they do, we do too.
Oh, absolutely. That's the second part of this, is the ramifications of this admission to the public means that HAARP is a reality. It's no longer just a theory or a conjecture, or, you know, you have to accept it as a reality, because he even mentioned, he mentioned Japan in such a way that Japan was caused by a man-made act.
Well, did he give any indication that that man-made act was originated in Russia, or did he indicate that it was somewhere else?
I get the feeling somewhere else. Because what I figure is this is a new detente, like way that it used to be with nuclear weapons. Now there's a bigger weapon, man. Nukes are like old technology now.
Yeah.
Now they can just do beam weaponry, light up the sky, make it a conductive, and zap anywhere they want around the world, and it's gone.
If, you know, look, I have, I did some shows on the Japan earthquake and tsunami. And one of those shows, we examined the possibilities of could it be some kind of a weapon that did this, because those rumors were already, immediately were out there on the internet. And we came to the conclusion that, yeah, it could be, but there's just not enough evidence to show. However, let's assume that it was. Let's assume that it was man-made, and some country, possibly the USA, but we certainly are not the only country with HAARP-type weapons. But maybe us, maybe the USA. Somebody set off that earthquake. Well, you know, every other country that possesses that technology at that point has to go on the defensive. That's like if we were to drop a nuclear bomb somewhere, everyone else that has nuclear weapons has to go on the defensive right then.
Yep.
And so it would make sense if Russia knows or has very, very strong suspicions that someone with this technology used it to do the Japan earthquake, it would make sense that they would go on high defense. And this statement by this Russian politician would make sense then. Not as saber-rattling, but simply as saying, okay, look, we've got it too. Don't mess around with us.
Exactly. That was basically the point of his message. I want to forward you the URL to this.
Yeah, please do. I heard about that, and I read some emails about it, but I have not seen the video of it.
Okay, well, God bless you, and I hope everybody has a fabulous weekend. That's it for me.
All right, thanks much. Join us in the chat room tomorrow night. The Earth will still be here. 623-444-5889, 623-444-5889, and if you press those numbers in that order, it will transport you right into our studio, and we will be able to hear what you want to talk to us about. If you're a first-time caller, you can call us at 623-237-3814. That's reserved for you if you're a first-time caller. Okay, what about this, huh? You know, whenever any group of people come up with a new technology, a new weapons technology, it isn't long until all of their neighbors come up with it as well. And it would make sense if someone that has this technology to cause earthquakes, and it does exist, it's existed for a while. The Secretary of Defense under Bill Clinton was Mr. Cohen. And Mr. Cohen said, when Bill Clinton, way back when Bill Clinton was still the president, he said that this technology existed. And he said it publicly. And the press reported on it. So this is not mythological. Like Perry said, you know, it's no use saying that you don't believe it exists anymore because the proof is in. That debate's over. You can stick a fork in that one. It's done. This technology exists. Now, I also saw a statement by Vladimir Putin where he was asked if he thought that that earthquake had been caused by man-made technology. And he said something very interesting. He said, it better not have been, because if somebody did that, it violates international treaties. So that's further confirmation that it exists, and it's in the hands of a number of countries, and everybody's worried enough about it that they have international treaties to protect each other from and protect themselves from someone using it as a weapon. But if somebody did, then it certainly makes sense to me that Russia would have gone on high defense. We certainly would. If we're not the ones who used it, then you can bet we went on high defense. You and I might not know about it, but you can bet the military knows about it. If it was not us that did it, and somebody else used theirs and did that earthquake and tsunami, caused that earthquake and tsunami in Japan, you can bet we went on high defense as well. So it's, you know, look, we live in both interesting and ominous times, folks. There are so many things that are happening that really are very dangerous things, and some people, you know, they just put their head in their hands and worry, and There's nothing you can do about it. If a comet's coming in, and if it is going to hit us, then it just is. And the best thing to do is live till you don't. But there's all that going on, and yet the most dangerous thing on this planet is us. We have more to fear from us than we have to fear from everything else. You would think we would reach a point where somebody could just, that matters in this conversation, could just say, time out, enough. Everybody sit down and shut up. But there is no such person that can do that. And so we continue to become more and more lethal, and we become more and more dangerous to ourselves. Now, that opens up a whole can of worms. It opens up the can of worms about, are the extraterrestrials benevolent or malevolent? And, you know, there's another option. They could be neither. They could be just kind of not really too interested in us except as kind of lab experiments. That could be the case. But in that discussion, there's always the notion that, well, anyone who has been around for so long that they have and have evolved so far that they have now developed the ability to travel between the stars. Anybody with that kind of advanced ability would have grown beyond war. I don't buy that. Now, I think there are other factors that would make them grow beyond war. But it's not technology. You can look back a little over 100 years now, and you had the Wright brothers flying at Kitty Hawk, the first powered airplane to carry a human. A little over 100 years ago. Now, compare the technology then to the technology today. If the Wright brothers could look at our technology in our current time, if some way they were to get a peek at what we've got, I mean, if they were just to get a peek at what I've got sitting right here in my studio, you know, a multi-line telephone system, computers, electronics of all kinds, they would be amazed, and they would look at this as so far advanced, and, you know, surely anybody as technologically advanced as the people who could do this, certainly they would have outgrown their propensity for war. And now I ask you, did we? We just became more efficient killers. The presence of high technology does not in any way whatsoever, in any way, shape, or form, indicate that the possessors of that high technology are of high spirituality. It is not an indicator. Compare our technology to the technology, say, in the times of the Roman Empire. Those people, if they could look at our technology, if they could see us with our airplanes and our rocket ships, if they could see us with our computers and our cell phones, they would think we were gods. And surely such beings would have outgrown their propensity for war. But did we? Now, that's why I'm certainly not making a case that we need to fear extraterrestrials. But that's why I say all of that about technology that I've just said. That's why I say that you can't pin your hopes on the fact that they are technologically advanced far beyond us and therefore have no bellicose intentions. That just doesn't wash. That doesn't equate. I'll say again that the presence of extreme high technology does not in any way indicate that the possessors of that technology are of extreme high spirituality. So we would have to look for other indicators, and there are some. Certainly, these folks have had centuries in which they could have, if they wanted, they could have occupied the earth. They could, and by occupy, I mean like military occupation. They could have turned us all into slaves. They could have wiped out the planet and made it just a little wisp of smoke in space. They could have, and they didn't. They've done none of those things. And obviously, you know, if they've got technology that's way beyond us, then obviously our technology that we think is high technology would be a little pop gun stuff to them. But there was a time when we didn't even have the pop gun. And if they really wanted to take us over, if they really wanted to control us, it would have been a great deal easier to do that before we had these toys. And they didn't do it. So those are indicators, from my point of view, that we don't have a whole lot to fear from these folks. But it's not because they have high technology. I just don't think technology is an indicator whatsoever of a people's intentions, morality, spirituality. Technology doesn't indicate that at all. Like I said, did we get more spiritual as we became more technological? If anything, we went the other direction. And, you know, we're more efficient killers, and there is a quicker tendency to do it. So, let us hope that the other factors involved in extraterrestrials are the dominant and ascendant factors, but not the technology. The technology is not an indicator. Now, you may disagree with that. Maybe you think that it is an indicator. I'll give you another indicator. I don't know if they have the technology to literally vaporize a planet. But they certainly would have the technology to destroy all life on a planet. If they were sort of competitive and bellicose, then certainly they would be competing with each other. They would be warring against each other from time to time. And we would see planets go up in a puff of smoke, or we would see things happen that absolutely destroy the possibility for life on planets, and we haven't been seeing that either. So they apparently are not at war with each other. So again, you know, it doesn't appear that they have these warlike tendencies. But you know, you can take a friend and turn the friend to an enemy by attacking the friend. And so I'm not really sure that it's too smart to be shooting at these fellows. You know, you don't want to tick them off, because the point is pretty clear. They have the ability, apparently, they have the ability to immobilize entire armies. They can turn nuke missiles on and off without ever touching them. We've got testimony to that effect from people who were in charge of those missiles. So people that can do that are not the sort of people you need to be firing missiles at or beam weapons or anything else. People that can do that kind of stuff, you need to, you know, not antagonize them. It's not a smart thing. Used to be a commercial on TV, and some of you probably remember. It was a commercial for Parquet, which is, of course, margarine, right? And it's not nice to fool Mother Nature, and then it would be, there'd be lightning and thunder. Well, you know, on a much more mega scale than that, it's not nice to tick off E.T., and it's not smart either. What do you think about that? Do you think that we have anything really to worry about from these extraterrestrials that apparently are not only visiting our planet, but apparently are all around our planet? Do you think we've really got anything to worry about? Do you think I'm wrong when I say that the technology is not an indicator of spirituality? If you think I'm wrong, you need to call in and you need to tell us why you think I'm wrong. Educate us. Help us to think about it. That's one of the things we do here. One of the things we do here is we try to think together, okay? I'm not pushing, I share my thoughts with you, but I'm not pushing my thoughts on you. I throw mine out there so you can challenge them, think about them, ask questions, tell me I'm wrong. It's just a soup starter. Caller, you're live on the Kevin Smith Show. Your first name and from where are you calling?
This is Mike from Kentucky, Kevin.
Hello, Mike.
First of all, I want to say, no, you're not wrong. You're right on the money. Everything you said about them, if they'd wanted to hurt us, they wouldn't have waited till we were on a technology similar, you know, a similar level to what they're capable of doing. They would have wiped us out a long time ago. And it doesn't take a genius to figure that out. Why would they want to wipe us out when we were in our developmental stage using bow and arrows?
Yeah, I think if they had intentions of conquering us, taking us over, occupying the planet, that would have been done a long time ago, and we would never have been allowed to develop the toys we've got now.
Incorrect. In fact, I think they have encouraged us to develop it. I think they've encouraged us.
Hey, Mike, a break just took over. Hang on. I'll get you right after the break. We'll be back, folks, right after this. Welcome back to the Kevin Smith Show. It is BYOT night. That means bring your own topic. And on the telephone with me is Mike from Kentucky. Mike, we were talking about that, you know, if the extraterrestrials really had an intention to take us over, they really missed the primary window of opportunity. That was before we had such high-tech toys.
That's correct. And I'm of the opinion that not only do they not want to take us over, is the horror mongers are pushing that idea, but I think that they have assisted us all down through history through what we would call inspiration and visions, and helped us develop a lot of the technology that we do have a lot more quickly than would have happened naturally. Command Sergeant Major James Norton talked about that firefight, and I think only one person died in that, and that's when a helicopter had set down real hard, and it killed one of the crew members, if I'm remembering correctly. But
well, I thought he said it killed both crew members, but I could be wrong about that. But that's true. And, you know, they defended themselves and they injured some people, but they didn't kill anybody.
Exactly. And after all, the soldiers were the one that opened fire first.
Mm-hmm.
I think that they were just trying to show, look, you could have had 1,400 troops dead and not just in the hospital if we'd have wanted it to be.
Yeah.
So humans are a little bit slow sometimes to catch on. They're so aggressive by nature that they shoot first and ask questions second. You know, and that's what the military is supposed to do, is protect and serve. But sometimes I think they're just a little too aggressive.
Well, you know, there's an old story about how to catch a monkey. You've probably heard it. You put some fruit in a jar, and you tie this jar up, and it's got to be a small opening, small mouth jar, but big enough for the monkey to get his hand in. So he puts his hand in to get the fruit, and then he's trapped because he will not turn loose of the fruit. And he cannot get his hand and the fruit out at the same time. So he's trapped there. But he's trapped by his own actions. He could turn loose of that fruit and run free.
Yes.
And we're like that. We've latched on to ideas. We've latched on to certain products. We've latched on to certain beliefs. That it's like the fruit in the jar. And we're trapped, and we're trapped in a deadly cycle, but it's our own actions that have us trapped. We don't have to be trapped. We could turn loose of that fruit and say, you know, that's not working out real well. Let's try something else. But
yes, and you know, say the inspired one would turn loose of the fruit, take his hand out, inspect the situation, reach up and turn the jar upside down and pour the fruit out.
Yeah. Yeah. So, you know, we are trapped in a cycle of death and destruction. It's us doing it, and we don't have to be there.
And I really think that they are hoping that through a series of these interactions between each other, somewhere, someplace, we're going to get the idea and realize we don't have to be fighting with each other. We can be working together.
Yeah, and I hope that happens. Now, let me ask you, what do you think about this story that we talked about earlier where a Russian politician talked about that they have a weapon where they could wipe out a continent?
I saw that earlier. In fact, I posted that story in my email list, and I watched the link and saw him say that, and it was started out as a story about wine, and then it got into technology. I think this turned into a person being upset and saying more than he should have.
Well, I would say whatever the circumstances, he probably said more than he should have. But do you think that the Russians really think that somebody caused that Japanese earthquake?
I think there are a lot of people out there that think that, Kevin. You've heard that yourself with HAARP and others.
Well, on the internet, yes. But I'm talking about in the upper levels of the Russian government where they really have the technology and the scientists to examine it. That's several cuts above internet rumors. Do you think they have come to the conclusion?
You know, never having actually spoken to anybody in Russia, it would be pure conjecture on my part.
Mm-hmm.
But I do know that there are weapons that have been around since the 70s. One of them is a scalar weapon that you can actually set the atmosphere on fire with. The Chinese, the Americans, and the Russians, all three developed that technology. But they also apparently developed a anti-scalar weapon that could stop that, because if they had not done that, there had the potential there to burn up the atmosphere around the whole planet and everybody would be dead.
That may be what happened on Mars.
There's a good possibility.
Well, Mike, I want to thank you for the call, man. As always, interesting stuff.
Okay, thanks, Kevin. Have a good night.
All right. 623-444-5889. It's BYOT night. That's bring your own topic. So whatever it is that is on your mind that you would like to talk about, this is the time and this is the place. 623-444-5889. If you're a first-time caller, you can call me at 623-237-3814. We have that number reserved for you, for first-time callers, to make it easier for you to get through to me. I want you to get through to me, all right? On this show, if you're new to the show, you need to understand we're not asking you to call in just to agree with me, okay? I started telling you about this a moment ago, and we got sidetracked. It's not my purpose to get everybody to agree with me. I don't have an agenda. Other than I want people to really think. And so we throw the information out on the table, and sometimes I tell you what I think the information says. But then when we open the telephone lines, it's open. It's up to you. If you think I have missed it, then it's up to you to call in and say, you know what, I think you missed that one, and here's why. And why do I want you to do that? Well, obviously, if I'm missing something, I want to know about it, but I want the whole audience to know about it. I want everybody in the world to be thinking about these things, really thinking, analyzing, coming to their own decisions as to what they think the shape and color and taste and smell of reality is. And as an example, earlier I brought to the table the information about the disappearing earthquake. Now, that's just plain weird. Right now, there's a black hole in the information. Nobody has come out with a public statement as to why two separate European monitoring centers registered an 8.4 earthquake in Libya yesterday. And they reported it. But the USGS didn't report it. Other stations around the world didn't report it. And then these two stations took that off of their website. It's not there today. And, in addition, there has been no public statement. No public statement where somebody says, okay, we know you're wondering about this, here's the deal. Nobody is doing that. Nobody, as far as I know, no one has made a public statement to explain this situation. And so, it appears to be a news blackout. Why? Well, when I throw that out onto the table, I know that I'm speaking to a vast audience that includes scientists, engineers, seismologists, who are scientists, of course, and someone, surely out there, someone has an idea, an educated idea about what happened. Well, we'd love to hear from you. But by putting it out there for you, it gives you the opportunity to think about what I've just said. To really consider and think about what the possibilities may be. You know, not everybody that figures out a puzzle is a puzzle maker. So you don't have to be a scientist to figure this out. I haven't figured it out. I don't know what the answer is. You don't have to be a scientist to figure it out. You don't have to be a puzzle maker to be able to put together a puzzle. Some people can put them together very quickly. So what do you think about it? And that's what we do. That's how we do it. One of the things that has... and let me remind you, it's BYOT, Bring Your Own Topic. You see, I know that we're talking to people from one side of America to the other. I know that we're talking to people from the top to the bottom. of the United States. But we're also talking to people all over Canada, all over Mexico, all over South America and the various countries of South America. We've got listeners in Chile, in Brazil, in Peru, in Ecuador, probably in every country, in Argentina, probably in every country in South America. We have listeners. We have listeners all over Europe. We've got listeners all over the United Kingdom. We've got listeners all over Asia, all over Australia. We've got listeners in Africa. And so the things that are important to you may be different from the things that you're hearing us talk about here. That's why we do Open Line BYOT, so you can bring to the table the things that are important to you. Caller, you're live on the Kevin Smith Show. Your first name and from where are you calling?
Now, this is John in Mesa again.
Hello, John.
Yeah, a couple nights in a row here. Oh, maybe I skipped a night last night.
Well, I know we've talked to you recently, but I don't remember if it was last night.
Yeah, well, I had a thought. If you believe that HARP has the ability to set up vibrations and cause earthquakes, maybe the vanishing earthquake over there in Libya is the secret government's way of telling Gaddafi the game is up and he lost.
Well, okay, yeah, it could be that. But what do you think, and I don't have any problem with saying, okay, well, we have that capability, so, you know, possibly that could be the answer. But what do you think of this thing where two separate European monitoring centers monitored 8.4 and everywhere else around the earth, nobody reported it?
Well, and then maybe the two that reported it somehow missed out on the loop to keep it quiet.
Uh-huh.
You know, it is a big world, after all, with lots of sensors out there.
Yeah, and it could be that. It could be. But now here's a question. Now this gets into more hypotheticals here. Well, we've got a break taking over. Can you hang on through this break?
Sure.
All right. We got a break that's just about to hit us. We'll be back, folks, right after this, so don't go away. And welcome back. We are on final approach here tonight. So that means we've only got just a little bit of time left here in this show. On the telephone with me is John from Mesa. John, we're talking about this earthquake thing and, you know, the possibility of people's causing things. Okay, and we're talking about the disappearing earthquake. I was just about to say, okay, would you say it looks to you like there is a news blackout on this?
I find it odd that you would have two separate groups coming up with the same information, corroborating each other. You know, it looks a lot more like a leak to me, or somebody out of the loop, and mm-hmm. the information was supposed to be withheld. But
okay, so what you're saying is it does look like there is an information blackout here.
Right, and the only way we're going to be able to confirm that is if we get photographs
mm-hmm.
via satellite or independent
okay,
sources of damage.
Yeah, but now let's assume that there is an information blackout in place here. There was no information blackout on Japan.
True.
Okay. There was no information blackout on Haiti or on Chile. What is it about this one that would require an information blackout?
Well, the blackmail issue still comes up. If the world knew there was a blackmail issue, it would confirm HAARP and what it's used for and make a lot of the other earthquakes more suspicious.
Okay, so what you're saying is the component of blackmailing Gaddafi's government and using this earthquake. Now, it's all speculative, but you're saying a HAARP or similar technology has created this earthquake in Libya as a way to make a point to Gaddafi and say, okay, give it up or we're going to put you under. Okay, so that's a blackmail aspect. All right. And they do a news blackout because that aspect of it could expose that HAARP is used for creating earthquakes. But if that's the case, every NATO nation knows about it. Every nation that's participating in that Libya campaign would know what was being done.
Right, because that many people involved militarily, and it would be impossible to keep the earthquake silent.
Mm-hmm.
You're right.
So, you know, that's...
It would only be silent for a day or two, max.
Yeah, max. And so if this is an information blackout, there's something really particularly special about whatever happened there.
Right.
And I think it goes beyond a blackmail thing. There's got to be something really special about that.
Yeah, and I, you know, being on the outside of the inner circle, I haven't got a clue at this point.
Nor I, John, nor I. Have you heard anything else in your area about that missile launch?
I have not. I was pondering that as you talked about it the other day. Didn't get in to talk to you about it.
Mm-hmm.
There are several groups that participate in launches of private rockets,
mm-hmm,
just for the whole process of seeing how high they can get. And they do get clearance for the skies when they do that. But I have no idea that kind of club exists here. The ones I've seen have a convention, I think it's in Kansas, every year.
Well, the witness, who was a Space Command officer, the witness said this thing was almost the size of a 727, so it's not going to be a hobby rocket.
No, I mean, they get big, but not that big.
Yeah. Yeah.
They do go high, though. They do get to the edge of space.
Sure. Sure. And you know, if you give a balloon enough helium and...
it'll get to the edge of space.
Yeah, and you wait long enough, it'll go to the edge of space. It sure will. Well, John, thank you for the call.
Okay.
All right. Have a good evening. All right, ladies and gentlemen, we are just about out of time, but we do have time for one more call. If, in fact, you move now, okay? 623-444-5889 is the number. That will get you here. Okay, we have Mark in New Zealand with a flash message, and this is a message that contains nothing but a link, which I cannot read while I'm on the air. But thank you, Mark. I'll take a look at it after the show. Look, folks, there is quite obviously technological capabilities in the hands of governments that is way, way beyond what you imagine. So a lot of the time when we say, well, that's, you know, we don't have anything like that, A lot of the time, not only do we have it, but it's old and obsolete. They're way beyond what we thought we didn't have. And so, for that reason, it's quite possible that, very possible, that this disappearing earthquake could have been man-made. It could be just malfunctioning equipment, too, but isn't it odd there hasn't been a statement? And, if your equipment is malfunctioning, you know that right now. And so you could put out a statement right now. So putting out a statement tomorrow only indicates to me it took them that long to get their heads together and come up with a spin story. Something's up there. I don't know what it is, but there's something really weird, something really special about the disappearing earthquake. And I think it's something we ought to, at least pay attention to. Something is up. But if you can create an 8.4 earthquake, that is some awesome, awesome power. And if not only can you create it, if you can aim that weapon so that it creates the earthquake at the location you want it, like a guided missile, only it's a guided earthquake, that's beyond awesome. There are people saying, well, of course we've got it. We've known about this for a long time. Well, look, I read all the same rumors you did. And they are, many of them, still rumors. Some of the stuff has been confirmed. But many of them are still rumors. And if it is a rumor, it is a rumor. And I won't make the leap until we see the evidence. However, the leap has already been made in terms of, do we have the technology to create earthquakes? Yep, we do, and other nations do too. And, I mentioned earlier, all you got to do is go back to Defense Secretary Cohen's statement. He said the technology existed. And I think he would know. He was the Secretary of Defense, so I think he would know about that. Well, we have to call this one a day. This has been fun. I've enjoyed it. I hope you join me. Tomorrow evening, after the end of the earth, I will be in the chat room. I'll be there at Showtime. So join me at Showtime in the chat room, and let's hang out together for a couple of hours. Sleep well tonight. Don't worry. There is no end of the earth tomorrow. My friends call me Steel Eye. My enemies do too. And you can call me whatever you want to call me. Just keep coming back again and again and again. Until next time, so long, everybody.